Being a dog is not a bad, they say, if you're like one of them Buddhist types, which, I try and fail all the time to be, there's the whole talk of reincarnation, and you come back, based on how well you did this life. And like often, like, oh, if you do bad, you come back as a dog. I mean, I'm gonna start doing bad,
Yeah, you're
you
gonna
know.
start tanking for dog status. Welcome to another episode of Low Rollers, a podcast that looks great, sounds great, and doesn't need a fancy, expensive studio to feel good about itself. I'm Eric Raskin, joined once again by Jeff Edelstein. Last week, he chose his nuclear family over his Low Rollers family, but now he's back where he belongs. Jeff, how was the trip? Did you ride Space Mountain? Is it a small world after all? Talk to me.
Well, I'm going to mention Disney a little bit at the very end as a
Okay.
tease, but as far as the trip goes, thank you for asking. We had a great time. We really did.
Yeah.
I'm as cynical as the next guy, but like I allow myself to get swept up in the Disney magic, as it were. They do what they do there. They're just very good at what they do. It's expensive,
Yes. Yes, it
but
sure
they're
is.
very good at what they do. The kids really had a great time. And I had a very nice time.
And
And
the length of time there didn't wear on you? 'Cause I've done Disney, but I've usually done it like a 3-day trip or a 4-day trip. You were there for the long haul.
well, we were in Florida for a week, and we were at the parks for 5 days,
Oh, okay.
including one day at a water park.
Okay.
But we go hard. Well, I go hard. I'm like I'm like a bit of a drill sergeant. I'm like, all right, time to go, time to go. I think that our record was we're at Magic Kingdom, I think, from like 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. one of the days,
Wow.
just
That's a
nonstop.
full day.
It's a full day. But yeah, I it's fun. My kids loved it, so what more can I say, you
Well,
know?
I'm sorry for you that you have to return to work and
No
all
kidding.
that comes with it.
Well, that's all right. I plan on winning a Millie Maker in a week or so. So
Good.
that you know, that
Good
I'll
plan.
I'm giving my 2 weeks' notice just in case.
Okay.
All right, listen, coming up later, we have an interview with props.com, our own props.com, Justin Carlucci, talking all things as we getting ready to kick off the NFL season. But before we get there, just a absolute what's the word I'm looking for? The
Fire hose?
cavalcade. Fire hose, cavalcade. What's it when there's a the
Waterfall, avalanche?
waterfall avalanche of news?
We do have an avalanche of news. We're going to have a whole bunch of things to cover lightning round style before this news segment is through. But we'll start with a longer discussion of an intriguing development in Ohio. Last week, when Adam Small sat in for Jeff, we discussed FanDuel, DraftKings, and others making moves toward running their own prediction markets. The Ohio Casino Control Commission responded Monday by sending a letter to all of the state's licensed sports betting operators, warning them their licenses could be at risk if they offer prediction market sports event contracts. On a somewhat related topic, the NFL held a video call Monday where they said, among other things, players and employees can't bet on prediction markets the same way they can't bet at other sports books. So prediction markets are on all the powerful people's radars, and they largely don't approve. But the Ohio warning, and it's just a warning, who knows what they'll actually do, but it threatens to punish those who are following the rules in the state and paying taxes and fees while letting Kalshi and Polly Market and such run wild. Jeff, your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, you took the words out of my mouth. Joe Brennan, had a great tweet on this, basically on the same, taking the same idea. Right. So, DraftKings, FanDuel, whoever else, sitting on the sidelines, playing by the rules, watching Kalshi, Polly Market, and all the others that are coming down the pike, do whatever they do without paying taxes, without regulation, without any of it. And so Ohio says, well, if you do that, we're going to punish you. We're not telling what the punishment's going to be. It might be a secret punishment. But they're still going to, but they have no, I don't know, but they have no way to stop the Kalshis from being in the state. I don't
Right.
understand it. It seems, baby bathwaters, nose, spite face. It doesn't make any sense. But yeah, that's where we're at, state of gambling in America 2025.
Yeah, I
It
mean,
doesn't make sense.
No, it really doesn't. It's getting out of control, or it's gotten out of control. States are in a no-win situation with these prediction markets. They're federally regulated for now. You're not going to profit off them. I don't know what the right thing for Ohio or other states to do is. Basically, they're paying the price now in various ways for all the mistakes of the rollout of regulated sports betting over the last 7 years. So I don't know what the right thing to do is. I do know this isn't it. They're punishing the operators that play by the rules and pay the fees. And
Right.
at a certain point, when those operators are paying such high taxes they can barely turn a profit, I feel like they're going to say, okay, fine, take away my license in your state, and I'll just run an exchange and not a formal sports book here.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, there's just really no, there's no other way to put it. But I mean,
Right.
this is the state, the state of the sports betting world 2025. I think this is like almost like the capstone story,
Yeah.
right? Because it's like this is catch 22 in real life. You know what I mean?
If
Don't.
I read books, I would know exactly what you mean by that reference.
But I mean, but you know what catch 22 means,
Right,
and that's
yes.
what, like, play by the rules. And if you don't play by the rules, we're going to kick you out unless you don't play by the rules, and we're not going to do anything to you.
Right. Yeah. And it just, is it me, or does it feel like everyone working in the industry has reached peak negativity to this point? I guess it could get peakier, but it just seems like, I don't know if you saw or listened to Dustin Gawker's
I haven't
little, like,
yet,
he
but
had
I've
like a
heard
little
about it.
6 minute podcast that he posted this morning, which is just like him basically throwing up his hands and saying it's gotten really bad, and I don't know what else to say. But I thought, he was optimistic when he got into covering this industry, and it's at a low point now. It's, yeah, the negativity from Joe Brennan, Dustin Gawker, and pretty much everyone except my big takeaway from my podcast interview last week with Harry Crane is that none of this is bad for the bettors. If you're a serious sports bettor, maybe the
More
news is all bad
outs,
for. Yeah, exactly. That's basically what Harry was saying, that it's to the benefit of sports bettors to have all these new outs, all these ways to get down and price shop. What's bad for the quote unquote industry is not necessarily bad for the customers.
Yeah, our jobs have, I mean, it's, no one gives a shit, but I mean, they're just so dramatically different than they were 2 years ago. It's
Yep.
like we're covering two completely, it's like, do you like covering gambling? Yes, here's a job. Do you like covering federal regulation and prediction markets? I've never even heard of those things. Here's a job.
Yeah, and that's without even touching on sweepstakes, which is the whole other
Yeah,
big thing
just
that was
remember when? I'm old
right.
enough to remember when sweepstakes was the big story, right?
Yep. All right. Let's do some lightning round with other news. I have five items here, so
All
we'll
right.
try and get in and out quickly on each of these. First up, DraftKings bans the use of credit cards to fund accounts. The operator was recently fined $450,000 by Massachusetts. Imagine that, Massachusetts fining someone for allowing credit card deposits, and DraftKings decided to just prohibit it nationwide. Jeff, anything to say about this?
Yeah, I mean, it makes business sense for them to not have to deal with it. There's a few other states where where it's banned. It's a bad look from an RG perspective,
Yeah.
regardless. So that, it's good RG meets bad business equals smart move.
Yeah, and I really feel like this should just be a national rule at this point. I do all my deposits with PayPal. I don't know how you do
Same.
yours, but
Yeah.
yeah, I'm drawing from actual funds that I have. I would never deposit by credit card, in part because then my wife would see the transaction. She doesn't monitor my PayPal account, but still. And the offshores and the bookies still let you bet on credit, so there's that. But for
Right.
the regulated industry, I think it's best if everyone follows DraftKings' lead.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Next item, Prize Picks, is all done with Against the House DFS, aka prop betting under a different name. They now only allow their peer-to-peer game, basically trying to actually be DFS as legal as DraftKings and FanDuel's DFS products. As our resident DFS expert, Jeff, even if you do optimize in your head, as we established
I do.
with Dan Bach, you are still the resident DFS expert. So, your thoughts on this Prize Picks news?
Yeah, again, like they're just playing, they're trying to get out ahead of every other state banning, the pick'em model. It plays relatively the same as far as I can. I mean, I don't have Prize Picks here in New Jersey, but it plays relatively the same. You can still you pick the, even if no matter what happens, you can win if you pick the right if your picks are correct.
Right.
So I you know, horse by any other color, rose by any other name. Is that, am I mixing metaphors? I don't know, but you know.
I think you may be. Yeah, it took me a second to figure out exactly what you were doing there,
Well, you
but
can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it smell a rose, is what I'm trying to say.
yes, you reminded me of a line that I read in a pro wrestling magazine when I was like 12 that really like changed my life as a future writer. It was the writer who was like the heel writer on the Pro Wrestling Illustrated
Right.
staff,
Great
was
magazine.
very, very anti Barry Windham,
Okay.
who had just joined the Four Horsemen, and he had
Sure.
the line, "You can lead a horseman to slaughter, but you can't make him think." And
Ooh.
it was just like it hit on so many levels. I'm looking up the horse to water line to
Right.
find out what he's referring to exactly, and it all just came together. I'm going to credit that line with where I am today, for
The
better or
bottom line,
worse.
though, is like what one the original Four Horsemen to me, that's the only incarnation that counts. Blair, Tully, and the Andersons. That's the Four
Yeah,
Horsemen.
I think Wyndham was the first one to change that, right? It was Ole was out and
Tully,
Wyndham was in. Yeah,
yeah.
and then as slowly spun out of control until basically Flair and maybe Arn were like the only original
I
horsemen
don't
still in it.
yeah,
Yeah.
but I mean that original Horseman.
That's your best woo? Come on, give me a
No,
real
it's not.
woo. Right, that was good. And I was afraid you were going to blow out your microphone, but it didn't happen. It came through. All right. Switching gears entirely, our next item forces us to get a little bit political. Donald Trump Jr., already an advisor to Kalshi, is now also on the advisory board of Polymarket as 1789 Capital, a company in which Don Jr. is a partner, is a new investor in Polymarket. Nothing to see here. Let's all please go back to obsessing about what's on Hunter Biden's laptop. Jeff, over to you before I say something that gets me on a watch list.
Yeah, I mean this, you know, sure. I mean, join. Yep.
You don't want to get on a watch list either, I guess,
This
huh?
is, I mean, it's not. This is just. This is, you know, as we were discussing earlier, the state of gambling 2025 and the ridiculousness. Well, here's the state of politics where our first family is busy getting rich.
Yes, they are.
How's that?
That was good. I think you're reasonably safe there.
Though I will say Donald Trump Jr. is one of my five favorite Trump children.
Okay. Are there exactly five of them? I'm trying to add them up in my head. I think
I
that's right.
think,
I think there are five. Okay, yeah. So he's in my top five also. All right. We unfortunately have to stay political with our next item, although this one is a little more cut and dried, at least. Weird story from last Thursday that our own Brant James at Endgame was the first to write about, but credit to the aforementioned Dustin Gawker for discovering the news. A Twitter account called InsiderWire, which was directly affiliated with Kalshi, started engaging in far-right oriented hate speech, agreed with a pro-Hitler meme, etc. And once we brought this to Kalshi's attention, as Brant was seeking comment, Kalshi cut ties with the account. Jeff, you were on vacation as this was blowing up in our work Slack. You've had a
Yeah.
week to ponder it. Your thoughts?
I mean, why were they, what were they even doing affiliated with this? I that
Right.
to begin with, like what,
Right. I don't
like
know what the
what's,
upside was. Right.
yeah, that doesn't, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know, you know, far right thought probably should be kept away from the gambling world. How's that for a not so hot take? I mean,
Sure.
I am not. I have. I am in my advancing age. I'm trying my hardest to stay as unengaged as possible with both the far right and the far left.
Oh,
Because
I thought you were going to say with Twitter, because
no,
that too is not a bad idea to be careful where
Twitter's
you
easy.
go.
You
But
just don't. You just don't click. You just do the following, not the for you. That, I mean,
right. Oh, yeah, never the for you.
that makes
Absolutely.
life easy. But
Right.
as far, I mean, listen, you know, the far right and the far left, both it's all you hear about. 80% of the country disagrees with both sides. Basically, like, let the Jews use the gender neutral bathroom and we're all good. I think this
I
is my
think
answer.
I think that covers everything. Yeah. I may be a little more forgiving of one of the far sides than the
Forgiving,
other, but
yes. I'd rather live, if given the choice of which world I'd rather live in, I'd rather live under the far left. than the far right. But neither is doing anyone any favors. I'm convinced the
Okay.
far left is the, here's the thing. All right, now since you
Matt,
started,
here he goes. Here he goes.
since
Wind
you
him up.
asked, there's a tease for you. No, but seriously, the difference here is that the far right, you could hate Jews or love Jews, and you're welcome in the far right. You could be gay or not gay and be welcome in the far right. Okay. It's the truth. You go to the far left, okay. The moment that you say that, like, I don't think, transgender people should be allowed to play college sports, you're booted out of the far left. You're booted out of the left. Like, there's this purity test on the left that doesn't exist on the right, and it's costing the left everywhere. And until the left realizes this, they're not going to win anything.
Okay, I think
There you go.
I agree with what you said about the left. I'm not sure that the far right is so accepting of everyone, but
It's not,
I guess
no.
they'll accept you if you'll vote for the for their side, I
Yes,
guess, is what you're trying to
exactly.
say. Okay, all right,
100%, yes.
all right.
Now you're
Well,
going to make me upset.
now you're on watch list. There's no question about
There
it.
you go.
You're done.
Yep.
You're canceled.
Thanks.
But I will just say on this topic that I thought Brett Smiley's tweet had it right, that Kalshi is not absolved here just because they cut ties with the guy after the fact. You know that
Right.
they didn't react to it until they were forced to. They need to either do a better job vetting
Little
who they
due
associate
diligence.
with, yeah, a
Yeah.
little due diligence, or come out and admit that you're not a politically neutral company or something. And but
Right.
yeah, all right. Let's go apolitical for our final item here.
Sure.
NBA player Malik Beasley is no longer under investigation in a federal gambling probe, although other reports say that doesn't mean he's fully cleared. But anyway, I'm going to pat myself on the back here for saying all along there didn't seem to be much, if any, evidence against him. Jeff, you want to pat me on the back too? I know you do.
Yeah, I'll patch you. Does he
Thank
have
you.
like legal recourse here, you think?
That's exactly what I'm wondering about. You know, he what was it? He had a 3-year,
Contract on the
42
table,
million.
yeah, that
Yeah,
was taken
so.
away. I don't know.
We'll see where he signs and for how much, and if this ends up costing him money, yeah, I wonder if he'll be able to sue someone for reputational damage.
Yeah, I mean, I'd get a lawyer, Mr. Beasley.
I'm gonna guess he already has one.
Do you think?
I think if he didn't have one before the investigation started, once they started investigating, I'm gonna guess Malik
Here's a
Beasley has
question.
a
Here's a
lawyer.
question. At what point is your net worth like a virtual guarantee that when you say, I'm going to call my lawyer, you already have one?
Oh, that's a
You
good
follow what I'm
question.
saying?
Right. 'Cause I do not have a lawyer. I have a
I have a
friend who is
friend
a
who's a
lawyer who
lawyer.
I'll
Yes,
call
yes.
when I have a question.
Exactly. Same. I have
Right.
many that
Right.
count
So
as
yeah,
that, but I don't have a
what does the net worth have to be to
few
have
million, it
your own
gotta be,
lawyer?
right? I think once
Yeah,
you hit like 3 or 4 million, like you probably have a lawyer.
that sounds about right. Yeah, I'll set the line 3.5 million. I think that's a
Okay.
fair line.
All
All
right.
right. We've delved into all sorts of topics here, but all we really want to do is talk some freaking football. So let's do that. NFL kickoff is just a week away. We are ready to talk some football and specifically some football betting as we welcome to the show this week a writer for our sister site, props.com, one of the sharpest minds out there on fantasy and on player props. Our friend Justin Carlucci. Justin, welcome to Low Rollers. How close to 100 is your excitement meter about some actual regular season football getting played?
It's close. I would say the stress meter is probably up there as well. It's great to be here, being in the sports media content world, as you guys know, this is just an insane time of the year. And then it doesn't take long before there's that like triple whammy of sport overlap between basketball, hockey, and the Ryder Cups coming up. So this is the grind that they talk about, but it's going to be nice to see some football that actually matters.
Yes. All right. So let's dive right in with the most important topic in NFL betting. Does Travis Kelce get an engagement bump, or is it fade Travis, fade the Chiefs, based on the whole Mickey Goldmill women weaken legs rule?
I would say my bags are light on Travis Kelce in general, and kind of a running joke between me and my friends and my family. And I'm actually getting married at the end of September, so
Ah.
add on the stress meter. But my fiance's name is Taylor, And I said, you know what, you goofball, I'm marrying a tailor first. She might not have the same exact net worth, but to each their own. So
Well, congratulations on that. And I just want to say that, looking at you on the Zoom here,
little Kelsey.
I was just going to say, you could be the third Kelsey brother. I would buy it.
Right. I can't say I'm close to have the level of athleticism at either one of them. I was genetics. I'm 5'7". Both my parents were 5'7". I would need a real extreme outcome to become a third Kelsey brother. But yeah, so added in all the fun and stress, and I love it. I love this time of the year. So you throw that wrench into things, and it's been an interesting couple of weeks, that's for sure.
So FanDuel, this I is running this their $5 Millie Maker contest where you get your money back. You see this? If anything that you don't win, if you don't cash, they give you your money back. You got to use it in a week in credits. So I guess my question for you is, if I win the Millie Maker on FanDuel this Sunday, or next Sunday rather, will I quit my job or will I stay? What do you think?
Well, I'm looking forward to hopefully doing some shows with you every Friday. So
That's right.
I would hope you would at least throw me and Raskin a bone and come on for some podcasts, and then you would be our guest that we would be so grateful to have you on. But man, I hope you take it down. I missed that promo. I might have
It's
to.
a great promo. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
the their $5, lottery contest, 600,000 or so entries. Every if you don't cash it, you get your money back. Every entry that doesn't cash, you get your money back in site credit. Then you got to go through it. You got to run it through in a week. But yeah, it's about as good a DFS contest as I've ever seen.
That's super, super generous. And by the way, just that's really intriguing to hear because I was a little disappointed in baseball season. It seems like FanDuel kind of slowed down or stopped offering the low dollar, high prize pool tournaments. So,
Right.
that's good to hear that maybe they were just kind of saving their boom for NFL season where they know the demand will be.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting, right? Because I feel like, yeah, I feel like FanDuel has kind of like, it's like the stepchild, redheaded stepchild, the daily fantasy lately to DraftKings. But this $5 contest, first of all, it's 200,000 entries less than DraftKings $5 Millie Maker. Plus, you get all your money back. Honestly, I'm just surprised they're not hyping it a little bit more because it certainly appears. I mean, they're giving away $2 million plus basically in contest entries. But actually, the question for you, I know, like, obviously, you're doing a lot of work for us at props. Where is the bulk of your gambling dollar going these days?
Yeah, well, DFS it's been going to DraftKings. I've been kind of like toning that down a little more just as the prize structures have been getting more top heavy and skewed over the years.
Right.
It's just obviously, harder to profit. Back in the, what do you want to call it, the heydays of DFS, I don't know, at its peak, kind of after the infancy and before now, like 2017, I really enjoyed playing cash games. I loved playing the double ups and the 50-50s, and especially on FanDuel, they had so many more options to kind of build optimally and try to pick the right plays. And depending on what your perspectives were about rostering guys who were super chalky in cash games or not, which is kind of what all what I usually lean to. Everything has just changed. Everything's going to keep changing, and it just those promos like the one you just mentioned, those are far and few in between,
Yeah.
especially if you're not going to be a new user on any account or any new sports book. I can't remember the last time I got a nice $50 free bet anywhere or anything
Right.
like that. But yeah, so I'm fortunate here in Pennsylvania to have most sports books available to me. DraftKings will not let me get more than like
Of course. No.
$4.90 down on a prop. So in FanDuel's defense, I have much love to them because I'm pretty much able to do what I want there. But yeah, I'm really excited to kind of, gear my portfolio more towards betting props this season. I've been working
Got any
on.
futures out there?
I do have a few. I have a few we can talk about, and that's just something else. That's another conversation within its own. How much, the futures game has changed just because these lines are coming out so early. I mean,
Right.
June. We're talking June, and a lot of lines now in August when people kind of finally get their head and mindset into football. You're kind of chasing movement. We're talking, 50, 60 plus yards on a lot of lines and kind of just like stocks. It just doesn't feel good, throwing late money in a lot of times, which kind of sucks. But I have a few we can talk about that, some lines have moved, but I still feel pretty good about them too.
Yeah, what are some of the ones at the top of your list? Whether player props or there are some teams that you've got some big positions on that you like.
Yeah, I do think one that is still pretty good, and it's probably one of the positive piece of Cleveland Browns news, which might not be good for the real world, but Joe Flacco, at least starting the year playing football, helps their skill position guys, and I think it helps Jerry Jeudy quite a bit. I mean, that QB room, and then the Shadur thing, and they have 5,000 quarterbacks, and I still was like the whole summer, I thought they have to at least start the season with Flacco. But when he played 7 games last year, he had Jeudy for 6 of them. Jeudy's first read rate, which is how often the quarterback will, throw to receiver X as the first read on a play, was 33%, which would be top 15 in the NFL. That's a good sign. And during those Flacco weeks that Jeudy played, he averaged 58 and change yards per game. So, and that's among like 200 qualifiers that ran at least 75 routes. And that 58 and change a game was top 36 in the league. So, if you give me 10 Joe Flacco starts, and then they could do whatever they want if they're not competitive. They can start Gabriel, Shadur, whoever's still there. I don't know, whatever. I mean, you're flirting with 600 yards right there, and his line is 875 and a half. So, with a clean bill of health, and I'm sure with a lot of guys, you kind of have to go into a prop bet, expecting they're going to be healthy. And that's another thing, taking a guy's chances of getting injury or whatever you want to label injury prone, into consideration is obviously a big deal. But I would feel pretty good about, hypothetically, using last season as a benchmark with Flacco, with Jeudy kind of mustering 300 yards together. And it does not feel good putting any money towards anything Cleveland Browns related, but I feel like that's a pretty generous numbers, 18 weeks in the NFL now. And, just from an outside perspective, of course, the AFC North is really good, but they've kind of been a competent quarterback away from being pretty fun the last couple of seasons as much. Well, I mean, if you want to call it 20 years now or 30 years now with going back to Tim Couch, like, can they finally just find a guy? And I'm not saying Joe Flacco is it, but he certainly helps their players.
Well, it's interesting you mentioning the assuming good health and the injury factor, because I remember the first couple of years post PASPA when the sports books were putting out their season long over under props on guys, you could win a lot of money by going under on like everybody, and you'd end up like winning like 65% of them because anyone gets injured at all, misses a couple games. And it seems like in the last couple of years, they've lowered everyone's season lines just a bit to account for that. But I noticed you had an article where you took a couple of rookies to hit their yardage overs, Omarion Hampton's rushing yards, Tent McMillan's receiving yards. Is there a little nervousness when you're going on overs for a lot of guys that, the injury concerns, or with where you're seeing these numbers set, you're feeling like you're getting your money in good regardless of the potential for injuries?
I guess the boring answer would be it's situational, but you're absolutely right. There's always some apprehension for sure. I mean, those are two rookies where, they're going to have a serious role right away. And I think, what do they say in the DFS world? We ran pure with Adam Thielen getting traded to the Vikings today with Tet McMillan. And there's no way that he can't be heavily involved right from the beginning. So I feel pretty good about that one. And as sharp as all these books are, and they have so many brilliant people working for them, you Google jobs, there's analytic jobs, there's trading jobs for all these sports books. It does feel like, there are still a couple of them that are asleep at the wheel, and maybe you can kind of find a decent line that isn't kind of yanked off the board as quicker as other sites. Some of these pick'em sites are sharp at pulling lines down, and it makes me nuts. I don't have really any of them here in Pennsylvania, but just I'm able to see some of the boards or some of the people we work with that share what the lines are. But Prize Picks, for example, like, they don't screw around. Like, they do not want to be vulnerable to any news that could hurt them, it feels like, because I feel like as soon as I see a line that someone's talking about, I said, hey, I saw your email 20 minutes ago. I don't see it anywhere. Where did you find this? Was it really on the board? So, there's just so many sites available to us. I guess some of these companies you can just find a nice line once in a while, which is a little bit surprising. But just in general, and I still feel like I have so many stubborn friends, whether they're casual or competitive, they're just loyal to a brand. You
Right.
have to shop lines.
Yeah.
I mean, three of us know that, but my buddy says, who do you like for season long props? I said, well, I get Tet McMillan at X. Oh, well, I only play on one site or another. Do you not like money? Do you not like expected value? And I guess maybe it's laziness, or maybe it's a combination of that and a mental thing where, they don't want to be affiliated with too many accounts, which is also possible.
I think the truth of the matter when it comes to it for that is it's that if I know that I'm getting it better at minus 105 compared to minus 110, but for the one bet that I'm making, maybe I don't care, right? But if you're going to make 100, 500, 1,000, 10,000 bets, it adds up very, 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 very quickly, right? You know,
True.
and I think, and so some, even me, sometimes I want to place a bet here, I want to place a bet there. It just pop, I want this bet. I want to bet X. I'll just whatever I have open at the time. I'm like, all right, close enough. Like, might I get it? But that adds up, you know. And I think that's the main reason that most people like don't line shop, you know, because it's like, it's just one bet. But it's just one bet, and just one bet, just one bet, just one bet, just one bet, just one bet. It's a lot of bets.
Right, you do enough volume,
Right.
and it definitely adds up. And speaking of volume, we were talking right before we started recording about the fact that you've done about 200 best ball drafts this year. You're kind of worn out on it, but with that high a volume of best ball, who's the player out there that if this guy smashes this year, I'm gonna be in advancing a lot of my teams. Who are you like most heavily invested in this best ball season?
Yeah, I don't know. See, I'm definitely on one side of this discussion, and it's funny to go on Twitter where all the quote unquote best ball bros are, and it's almost like people exposure shame you, right, Jeff? Like, oh, you have flat exposures, like you don't even take any stands. And I'm not saying I'm super flat, but I have a couple guys pushing 20%. But other than that, it's I'm kind of more building my teams based on what the draft rooms are giving me, and it's okay to be partial to having builds with a certain number of running backs, for example, but if you have five guys and four of them are just solely based off contingent value, like four Will Shipley types who are, solely the backup, they could be league winners if, God forbid, something happens to the Madden cover boy this year. But you're not going to get points anywhere else. So that's cool that you have, you're sticking to your position structurality, but it's kind of like, what kind of players do you have in those five players? Like, where are you going to get your points for sure? It's like a combination of finding that ceiling play, obviously, because you're playing against thousands of entries. But the bottom line is, you still need to score some points every week,
So since you asked, here's my I have six players above 25%.
All right, here we go. Let's
Since
see.
I
Let me
love
I'll bring mine
Jeff
up and see how
Edelstein,
close we
since
are.
you asked, I love it.
Yep.
Shipley, 27%, pure contingent, right?
I
Because
didn't even
he's
know
a
that.
I
Didn't even
assume
know
I
that.
assume you're grabbing him like 18th round, 19th round, whatever,
Well, I mean,
something in
I
that
was in the
range.
beginning. Now you got to grab him a little bit earlier because people are smarting it up. Because if Barkley goes down, Shipley is potentially a league winner, right? All right, 29%, David Montgomery. I like it, don't love it, because I think Gibbs might get more dominance there. The next four I fucking love. Jameson Williams, 29%, all over Jameson. Tyler Algier, 31%. Not just contingent, because you get him late in the draft, but he's good. He's going to be good for a few weeks, right? Marvin Mims. I'm all
That's a
over
good
him, and I
one.
love that at 33%. And my highest drafted player, I'm not sure how happy or sad I should be based after today, 35%, Adam Thielen.
I think you should be happy. I think him going to Minnesota
Yeah.
is a good thing, especially the first few weeks till Addison comes back. He should
Yep.
be scoring in your lineup.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean I yeah, so I'm good. I'm happy, man. And then it's yeah, so, I mean that's only 'cause you asked. That's why I was telling you.
Oh, it's pretty funny that I mentioned Will Shipley. There was no pre-show discussion about
Nope,
anything best ball
nope, nope.
related, and
Nothing
that
up
was
our
your guy.
sleeves.
And I agree, he looked great in the preseason too. I mean,
Yeah.
he looked really good.
Plus, he looked so good last year, that little action that he got, you know?
He did. He did. I'm a little rookie heavy at the top, and I'm usually not this way, but the price on Luther Burden was so cheap, and it still is. And of course, it's really ambiguous there. And this is the classic: Chicago has all these weapons. Right. I don't know. The offensive line still isn't good, but in my eyes, it was tougher to click the DJ Moore button, and even kind of to a lesser extent, the Romo Dunze button, who I both think could be fine, just at their prices. You can get Loveland and Burden so much later. And Ben Johnson, allegedly this scheming mastermind. And I'm curious that we could finally maybe make some correlations between what was the actual Caleb Williams and, prior coaching staff issues. How can Detroit and football guy Dan Campbell, survive without Ben Johnson, and there was even some whispers about the offense being a little clunky without him there. And I don't know what's bullshit and what's not, and I don't really know if anybody does. Honestly, we won't know until we're like 6 or 7 weeks into the season. But Luther Burden was cheap. I have my fair share of Calvin Ridley, who was also one of the prop bets I wrote up about a month and a half ago. Ladd McConkey, I think it was just a product of where I was drafting for a while. It's like the early round picks I was getting, he was falling to me. I went 44 straight drafts to start the year without a number one overall pick, by the way. And
Wow.
I can't do the math, but after like 30, I'm like, I don't think I have any Ja'Marr Chase. And I'm like, I literally had no number one picks. So for a while I was kind of, you gotta play what the room gets you, and I really am really light on Bijan Robinson, which doesn't make me feel all warm and fuzzy inside, but there are just certain things that are solely out of your control. And unless you want to, keep pouring in volume, there are just going to be some years where you're not picking in the front half. So how much Ja'Marr Chase you got, Jeff? Were you fortunate to have
Nah,
some?
I think I'm probably you guys talk amongst yourselves,
Well,
but
I'll just note that I'm 67% on a couple of people, but that's because I've done three best ball drafts.
I
So,
like it.
it works out that way.
I got
But I'm
10% Chase.
0% Ja'Marr Chase. I have not gotten the first pick in all three of my best ball drafts. But you're 10%, Jeff?
10% Chase, but which means I got him somewhere after number one because I haven't it, the numbers don't work. Number of drafts divided by, so I got lucky once or twice. But 10%, I mean, slightly over the field. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm 9% on him. And just the last guy, another rookie guy, I think I kind of ran out pretty good on this guy too, and his stock is rising, is Matthew Golden. I mean, just availability is key here. Kind of like with Igbuka, like two guys that in the last month and a half, just, the old rocket ship emoji or whatever. But those are kind of the pros of being kind of degenerative and having a portfolio and drafting in freaking May, because you literally can't make combinations now that you were making in May. Now, the million-dollar question is those combinations have to be right, of course, and you have to get very lucky. But I do think there is merit to drafting all summer. And I'm not married yet, so I can't say my wife wants to kill me that I've been spending too much time doing it yet. Next summer, we'll see.
Right, I was gonna say we'll see how your patterns change a year from now. But all right, last topic. It's not player prop related, but I feel like it's the obligatory question that we have to ask right before football season starts. Who you got in the Super Bowl? Who's winning? Who's losing? Whether your prediction or just who you like based on their prices that you've been putting money on.
Yeah, and I have to ask, you're the guy in this video, if people are watching video, wearing the Birds jersey. So I'm not going to spin this on you because you're the host, but I'm having a hard time on paper, theoretically seeing anybody beat the Eagles. However, I know it's football. I know it's variance. The receiving corps's been a little banged up. AJ Brown hasn't really played. He had a year, about a year and a half in Tennessee where he kind of had some lower body issues. And I have to wonder if everything isn't gelling. But still, even still, I know they've had some O-line injuries. Like, that offensive line is so good that, a boring answer would be the Eagles. But I do think there are some nice numbers on some other NFC teams that, could really make some noise. And one of those teams who I have a little lunch money wager on, I can't say it makes me feel fantastic, but it's Tampa Bay. I mean, the division isn't great. They're 27-1 on FanDuel. Baker Mayfield is such a cool story, I think. And I feel like there was a Ben Johnson discussion, maybe not to the degree, because Dave Canales, when he was there, wasn't as highly touted as the Ben Johnson train was. But there were some that I thought highly of Canales, and so do I. And I think we started to see some of Canales and Carolina gel a little bit with Bryce Young in the second half, that wow, maybe Tampa Bay will regress a little bit without him. And that really was not the case. Tampa Bay is a pretty good football team, and Baker Mayfield has been a pleasant late bloomer. And a couple years ago, I'm not sure if anybody sitting here would be like, yeah, like he'll make Tampa Bay really fun and competitive in 3 or 4 years. So I do like Tampa Bay as kind of, my little Eagles hedge, if Philly doesn't, stay healthy and the fantasy and football guys aren't friendly to them.
And it's a nice direct Eagles hedge because if any team has had the Eagles number the last couple of years, it's
That's true.
Tampa Bay. That's as an Eagles fan, that's the team I'd really rather not somehow stumble into playing in the postseason.
And since you asked, for me, my little lunchbox money bet is the Broncos. I like the Broncos.
Yeah.
I really do. Great
Yeah, they're
defense, up and
great
coming
defense.
offense. I don't know. I like them.
Hey, shout out to that organization because when they took Bo Nix, they traded up to get Bo Nix too, I think,
Yeah.
a couple spots. I mean, there weren't many people that were like, hell yeah, home run. But
Right.
Sean Payton, decent offensive line. You know, they've spent some draft capital on RJ Harvey, another big topic, bringing in J.K. Dobbins in terms of best ball, RJ Harvey. Do you think RJ Harvey's the guy? Is he going to be the guy
I think
since I
it's
asked,
like
since I'm asking?
I don't know. I don't, but I like, but it doesn't mean he can't be good. This could be like a Kamara, who was the guy? Now I can't remember his name. You know, I'm talking, there was a 1-2 punch with Kamara and
I've already forgotten. I can't remember any football players from more than 2 years
I know.
ago if they're not
Mark Ingram
currently
or
active. Mark Ingram, yeah.
They were both, they both, were good. All right. Well, tell us where to find you, Justin, and actually where to find us, as it turns out.
Find me at props.com. We are going to be absolutely loaded with content in the fall next week. I mean, we're going to have props for everything that you're looking for. Anytime touchdown, first touchdown, receiving yards, rushing yards. I'm working on an NFL kind of score predicting model. I'm still kind of putting tweaks on that. So we'll see here. We got some other fantastic props tools that are in the works. And the beautiful thing about props is everything is free right now. We are free. We're trying to get our Discord going as well. We want to, get this community going and have a great atmosphere. I'm looking forward to being on the airwaves with Jeff and some of our guys this year as well. And man, it's here and we're ready. So looking forward to it. So thank you guys.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for coming on, Justin. And I'll just say clearly we've come up with a recommended bet here that everyone should parlay the Bucks to win the NFC with the Broncos to win the AFC. Put a few bucks on it, and we'll all have that Kelce Taylor Swift money by the time the season's over. But thanks for coming on the pod, Justin. Great talking to you.
You too. Thanks, guys.
All right, our thanks again to Justin, and we talked a little there about best ball and about DFS, and I noted that I have done a grand total of 3 best ball drafts this year, which I think equals the most I've ever done. I plan to do a few more this weekend if I have time, although that's the challenge. They take an hour or so, and I really enjoy doing them, but it's hard to carve out an hour for anything. But I'm really into it, even if you wouldn't know it by my volume. I also have my season-long draft this Sunday night, the league with my college friends and our kids. It's 6 adults, 6 teenagers, low stakes, a lot of fun. I'm excited for that. What I'm not excited for, however, at the moment is week-to-week DFS.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I know that it feels like a personal attack on you, Jeff.
Poof. Go ahead.
With all the sports betting that I do weekly on the NFL and the season long stuff, DFS has fallen off for me. It's just too much work and research in order to do it half decently. And with all the other work stuff, life stuff, less time intensive gambling stuff that I have going on, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, look. A day or two before the first Sunday of the season, after I've heard a few DFS podcasts that week, and I've heard a few sharp plays recommended, will I get the itch and build a few lineups? Yeah, I'm sure I will. But the enthusiasm for DFS, even NFL DFS, just isn't there for me anymore. So I'll live vicariously through you next weekend, Jeff, with your 150 FanDuel lineups, and
Yeah, we'll see.
Once you hit a big score, or once Brett Smiley wins his first showdown slate of the season, of which I'm sure he'll win several, then I'll get jealous and I'll want to compete. But until then, for now, meh. I'm more of a best ball bro than a DFS bro, although compared to the actual bros, I am neither.
All right, fair enough. All right, I want to go back to Disney for a minute because I'd like to announce that I successfully, well, successfully is strong, but I arbitraged Disney.
Oh.
I arbed.
Okay.
I'm thrilled about it. I love arbing. I just love it. I'd do it for a living if I had the time, energy, and the outs, and spend all my days doing it. But I try to arb everything whenever, wherever I can. And with Disney, I took the family. As I said earlier, we were there for 5 nights at the Disney parks. There, it cost about $3.7 million. But I did get them back. I did get them back a little bit. Both my wife and I got the Disney Chase credit cards, which gave us a combined $400 to spend in the parks for free, just for
Okay.
signing up.
All
Then we each
right.
get a $200 credit after spending a mere $500. in general in life, which obviously is going to happen. So
Right.
that's 800 easy. Then we picked
Okay.
up another 100 bucks for spending like 10 minutes doing a timeshare. Always do the timeshares. They're always worth it. You get great. It's a great promo. It's an easy
You
promo.
don't struggle to exit though. I feel like that's always
No.
tough. No. All
Nope,
right.
I don't. I don't.
All right.
I'm just saying, yeah, no, I'm not really interested. Thanks. Thanks for your time.
Okay.
And then we kind of sort of hacked the dining plan. If you want details on that, you're gonna have to reach out to me personally. I don't want to. I don't want to like put that out in the world.
I feel like I sense a future Substack blog maybe coming
And
on
there
that
might be
topic.
there. There might be
Okay.
one there. Yeah, that saved us about 500 bucks. So I mean, listen, all told, we had an awesome time. My kids won't be able to tell their future therapist that we never took them to Disney World. And I'm gonna pat myself on the back for shaving about $1,000 off the trip.
Okay.
Arbors assemble. Until next week, we're low rollers, small stakes, and hot takes.